business, you know, we basically work really hard to incubate and bring up any awesome project that we see is trying to do some great stuff in the crypto space. So very much appreciate you and bringing this show to the people here. I'll send it over to Travis so we can actually start to get to know about what you've been doing over there at Suede, Mr. Johnny. But Travis, you go ahead and take it away first. Let's see. Oh, you're on mute.
Yeah, very nice. Perfect. So we've had a conversation with you before, Johnny, on the show around what you got going on over there. But let the people know, because you're doing some cool stuff with crypto and music and AI. And so let everyone know, what is Suede AI and maybe what inspired you to get the ball rolling on this thing?
Sure. So, you know, we were talking about AI agents earlier. When that started to proliferate, I saw that there was an opportunity. We've talked about an NFT community in particular for years about, you know, tokenizing, fractionalizing music, putting it on chain, and the technology just wasn't there. And I think we're at a point now, we've demonstrated that we're at a point where we can bring music on chain. It can secure rights. You can show provenance, which is huge. And Drew, I know you're a musician, you know, I play as well. And as a kid, I don't know if you were go this far back, but you'd have to mail yourself a cassette tape.
Song. I didn't go that far back.
Providence, like, wants you to prove that this is your music.
Exactly. Whereas with, you know, on chain, you have complete provenance, even if you don't want it. So that's a huge feature, of course, of securing IP. But you know what gets missed a lot. So we're building something that empowers artists because I think this is an industry that is due for shakeup. I think the music industry has kind of subsisted for a longer time because it kind of it exploits, you know, vanity and, you know, our natural tendency to want to be a star. So it skates by doing these sort of things, and most industries have been disrupted. But we allow the artists to do things that are substantially better than labels, like using AI agents to analyze music, to find moments of virality, and then analyze crowds to put it in front of those crowds via a distribution network to make sure that, so that's just one of the things. But, you know, what a lot of people miss with the platform is we've built a generative model. And the reason we built it is not so people can go on the generative model and just use prompts. It's so that every artist has their own model. So, you know, if Warner Brothers wants to go and use a AI model in the style of The Weeknd, they're going to have to go to his model at least. So he's got some control. Yeah. So that's what,
like,
I think.
Is that like an ownership type of thing where it's like, okay, Weeknd, here's like one NFT, this or this sort of thing? Because I was talking to somebody who was a Big Noodle, where they're actually taking AI agents and inscribing them on Bitcoin as an ordinal, right? And so it's like immediately my brain goes like, whoa, what if Tom Cruise, when he passes away and wants to give his likeness to his kid Suri, that could be a Bitcoin ordinal or something like that, to be like, boom, and now we can go ahead and make more. We can make Mission Impossible 47, right? Because they're never going to stop making those, I don't think. And it's sort of that same principle,
yes,
right?
No, it's the exact. In the estate is actually due royalties after your passing. So if you choose, you can have your model making music well after your passing. You know, if we had a lot of, if we had Hendrix today, who knows, you know, what we would have. So it really does, in a lot of ways, empower not just, you know, agency, but autonomy for the artist to make those sort of decisions.
Very interesting. I mean, because I think back to my music career, you know, we had moments in, you know, years where we were getting millions of views out of Russia and Brazil, and Spotify was paying us like $10, right?
Yeah.
You know, so like we had to sustain ourselves by t-shirt sales and by basically continuing to have to stay on the road and continually, it was kind of like we were just a traveling, you know, shop that would work as hard as we could to keep people at the shop, and missed a lot of opportunity with that. It almost makes me want to get back into music because we did hit those moments where we got the offers from the record label, but they were essentially $300,000 or $400,000 loans that were due back in a certain amount of time. And it was very disheartening, especially for an artist that works their whole life to get to that level. You know what I mean? So Very, very interesting what you're doing here. You just talk.
The promise of getting a record label was such a big deal.
Like, that's like the top of it, you know? And you're like, and what's
now, you know, there's artists like Tom McDonald out there who's like, there's no way I'm gonna get a record label from. I don't want your deal because look, I make the music, I sing the songs, I wrote the songs. My girlfriend has all the video equipment and she edits all of our videos. I don't need any of you, right? Yeah. It's a totally different model now, and I think that it's you know, the old model of exploitation of these artists where it's like, oh, we just made $10 million. What? How do I only get $300,000 out of this? Mm-hmm. Like, where did that, is it such a skewed model?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, and I'd see that you have mentions of a patent for real world products within Suede AI. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more about what this patent of real world product really is?
Sure. So it's essentially a hardware wallet that's in either a guitar or a mic. We're going to try to get more instruments, but that's the scope of what we've been able to get thus far. And it's important for a few reasons. You know, obviously using as a multi-sig, you wouldn't use that as your main hardware wallet because it's a little obvious. But it more importantly allows you to, using encryption, sign certain creations with proof that it's actually originated from you. And that's the way that the model works as well, is everything is verified on chain that is indeed your model. And again, it just more than anything kind of forces the hand of productions, whether it be TV and record labels, to have to go directly to the model, because how could they possibly justify, if you have a model on chain that's yours and you verified yours, how could they go to OpenAI and say, give me something in the style of, you know, that's the way that we really mitigate the damage, I think, that will be to some degree inevitable with, you know, the automation of culture.
Well, the loss of IP is just, it's terrifying to think of as an artist. Yes. It's like, holy cow, they could just, you know, aggregate the data that's already out there, go scrub the, you know, Web 2 version of information about the music that I've got floating around on YouTube, and basically make systems in the future that can produce the same type of music but slightly skewed to whatever they're looking for. Now, when it comes to quality in what's being produced, how do you maintain the quality aspect when Suede is creating this music? Like, what essentially prevents it from just making generic tracks that are only slightly different from one another?
That's a great question. So the reason that we've used a community to create this was to give us kind of a malleable foundation. And then when the artist, we host the model for the artist, we take care of everything. When they get the model, it's got that very basic foundation. They then fine tune it over time. So as they, and this is what artists want to do, they play music that they like, and that over time continues to evolve the model. Evolve isn't really the right term, but it continues to increase the quality. And the artist can actually also check the outputs before they go out. So if somebody commissions a piece of work, he can make sure it aligns with his, you know, vision. And so it's a way to kind of direct it. And like I said, over time, it just increases in quality.
No, that's great. I have a question around this. Like, say for, because when you were talking about how the artists and how you, I know if I go on Suno and I'm like, give me the style of Johnny Cash. And it's like, nope, you said Johnny Cash, we can't do that. And I'm like, oh, I was like, but it would seem to me, because I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, because I like to create fun songs and parody songs and just kind of my own genres and play around. I've created a ton. But I was like, let's say I want to create a song that sounds like Oasis, right? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we build in or work with the artist or create some mechanism where it's like, okay, if somebody comes in and says and uses in the style of Oasis and makes a song, it's not Oasis. But if this makes profit, Oasis gets 50% of the profits. Or it's like, I wanted, whenever in 2022, I was playing around, when first ChatGPT came out, I created a whole new album of Beatles songs. I created lyrics. I was playing around with different chords and stuff. Now, I didn't generate any of the music because those technologies weren't around yet. But how cool would it be to say, Beatles estate, they get 50% of this, and they're using this. It's not an official song, but people like it anyway. Is that something that could be possible in the future?
Unfortunately, I think you know, the consumer has gotten very, I don't want to say spoiled, but used to a certain degree of willingness when it comes to paying for music. So even if it goes to, you know, if it's not an authorized thing that they can monetize, like a Beatle in the style of the Beatles, I don't think that many people are going to cough up the cash. And that's why we continue to have to rely on these distribution networks through ad spends and things like that, because we've grown so accustomed.
Well, let me ask this then. What's going to stop China from doing it? I mean, literally, what's going to stop some dude in his bedroom with these LLM models that are so amazing now? I mean, it's like, at least give the option for them to make money.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to do it. But I think, you know, it's the same thing as like listening to a cover band. You know, if I'm a consumer, I know that an artist has their own model that they work on daily by jamming with it and going through these iterative feedback loops. I don't want to hear anything else. You know, Taylor Swift, as a matter of fact, they released an album for her and she said, don't buy this. This is from, you know, the hedge fund, don't buy this. And it sold 8 copies, you know, so
did they use AI to create that?
No, they were her songs. But the hedge fund was getting the money. I'm not sure the exact story.
They sold 8 copies for real. Now, I know there's another lawsuit, right, going on about in the AI music space around record labels doing stuff, trying to take control of the, what's that all about? And how are you guys maneuvering those scenarios?
So they're trying to do essentially what we've discussed and kind of co-opt the models. It started in like these models are unfair, then to, well, let's work with these models. And again, that's on a much, like Drew was talking about, Drew, with the IP, you know, the problem with these models is they're so diluted. You've got millions of artists since the beginning of time. So you can't really draw attributions to any particular artist or anything that's, you know, conclusive enough to delineate that they were involved in it. So you can't give royalties. You can't even give acknowledgement because it's so, there's so many people in there. And that's, I think that's a really shitty thing because I think that culture and music is so important for, you know, forming narratives and life, that we need to give enough incentive and compensation to the actual creators so it doesn't just become a bunch of, you know, I don't know. I don't listen. Maybe K-pop's great, but K-pop, you know, like something that isn't, you know, really substantive. And like, you know, you think back to, you know, some of the greatest artists and like that feeling that they evoke, like we need to compensate that because otherwise our culture will go the way of, you know, many other cultures that forgot about art as a lesson.
Sure.
Didn't Jay-Z like start this revolution? Like, I'm not sure, 2012 or something. He started Tidal, and that was to basically battle against Spotify. But still, we're in 2025, and Spotify is still the most popular streaming platform.
More power, right? Like,
he just got another problem on his list.
I think it's good though. That we're moving on chain. Possibly, if we're moving on chain. To the music industry and bring the power back to the artists. I think that's a very good development.
That's why someone would launch with Suede then, apparently, to maybe some of the other competitors. And also, I've noticed you have these granular capabilities of like, oh, I don't necessarily like the guitar here. I can take that out and generate a new guitar. Oh, I don't like it in this chord. I don't like this chord. So you're actually able to granularly change specific parts of the song, which, like Suno and some of these other ones, like Udio, they can't do that yet, or at least
they're not. No, and that's referred to as stems. And in the beginning, we were trying to isolate them using frequency bands, but we just couldn't do it. There'd be artifacts, you know, if you've played with an EQ, you know that that's going to work to an extent, but it's not going to isolate everything. And we've been able to, through the, you know, evolution of technology more than anything, we now can isolate every track through the stems. So you'll have, when you create a song, you'll have all the stems as well of, you know, guitar, melody, the drums, all of that will be in its own for you to master however you see fit, which is cool.
That is awesome. Are you going to be able to like put that in GarageBand or Fruit Loops or any of those other ones down the road?
Yes. Yep. And then you'll have MIDI data to bring out as well, which will allow you to fine-tune it.
Really huge, because like these other tools don't really allow that granular ability to be able to make. And it's like sometimes like, oh, that's just off, or like it'll say something wonky and I'll be like, oh man, this song is so good, except for that wonky shit that I just added right there. And so it's like a lot of times I think AI platforms can get it to about 90% really good. And then they're just not the last. So the ability for you to go in with those stems, that's pretty huge. So where do you foresee this thing going? Like, what's the long-term road look like for Suede as you build this out? I mean, I guess I could ask Eduardo from the future where you're going, but he only knows about Bitcoin apparently.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, that's really interesting that you kind of talked about it only getting 90% there. Because that is a big way that I think we kind of enter, like, education is going to be a big market for us. And so I think kids these days, and most people, you know, they're dopamine desensitized. So they're going to want to jump on, make a diss track about their friend and have it made immediately. And they'll have that instant gratification, but then something, they'll want to add something. And so they're going to bring it into the DAW, which will be browser-based, which we're still building out that part. And they can actually adjust it. And little will they know, you know, if they're raising, say, a third, a half step, they're now making a minor song a major. And they're like, oh, that's cool that it changed the whole sound. Why? So it can be a way to make a more interactive sort of experience. And I think for educational systems, it's a way to keep engagement with the students and actually kind of like Trojan horse them into learning, similar to the way that, you know, Bitcoin has kind of done that for a lot of us.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Can you talk about your token a little bit? I'm curious about tokenomics, reward systems, you know, and like how you maybe reward the artists, where the flywheel kicks in. Like, I think every founder in the space is building with some sort of vision of the flywheel taking over and speculators kind of like not being the fuel for the movement. So kind of like paint that picture for me. That's a huge part of my thing in this space.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. So the structure is going to play a big part as far as determining for the crowd the basic model, what actually influences the model. So when you start trending on the site, say, you know, people are listening to your song over and over again, the first three songs will go for a governance vote, and then people can decide which one actually influences the model, so that there's that community engagement. Also, it's organic because we picked it from the trending list. But we're going to have a number of processes in place when it comes to staking. We've burnt 53% of the supply, which is why you'll see that the market cap, you know, is more than half of, you know, fully diluted, but there's no more tokens to release. We've burnt over half. So we've got a number of sort of mechanisms that not only are deflationary, we're not going to continue because, you know, we don't want to run into the paradox that Drew was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But it allows the ability to access tools. We've created a launch pad, which allows artists to not get paid in their artist token, get paid in USDC or Solana. So this way there's not that dynamic of, you know, I'm not going to name any names.
Are they going
to dump it? Yeah, yeah. Even if they're just trying to get 20 bucks to eat, you start thinking like, you know, it's, so that sort of dynamic is going to be eliminated.
Is there new revenues coming into the space through the platform, and where are those revenues coming from?
Yeah, so we have revenue from the subscription model to actually creating, monetizing, okay, using the distribution network. And then we've got the launch pad, which will have, at this point, you know, we're just trying to bootstrap and onboard, but it's got a really interesting feature. It's using a DAMM V2. And you can create a token with $0. And then, you know, it's kind of like a single-sided LP. It gets filled as people buy it. And that creates, but you can create a pool with no money, completely your token in the beginning. And so then you also have the variability where you can adjust. So we can make it so that, you know, prior to launch, you can't adjust it, obviously, after the coin's launched, that 10% goes to platform, 90% goes to creator. Right now we have it 100% creator, and that's all volume based. And it's in USDC or Solana. And that goes to the creator, and they have the ability to not have to dump their token on people. But every element of this, as it continues to get economic mass, and you'll see it in the white paper and a lot of the things that I've written about, integrates the token in a very sensible way, You know, in the beginning, it was just influencing the model with people that have actual skin in the game to kind of, you know, get rid of spam. And now it's going to be the, you know, really the key to access every bit of from the distribution network, from the microphone ability, from the launch pad. All of that is going to be required for all those processes. And, you know, we presented this free for a long time, just try and get people onboarded, but we've always kept a token gate in some capacity. And then we're going to ratchet that up once, you know, we're at the users that we feel really comfortable with.
That's cool. I also noticed you have a monthly fee now, which I didn't see before. So that's cool. So you can actually just pay regular fiat, or you can hold, last time I knew it was what, you hold 1,000 of your tokens?
10,000.
10,000 of them. Okay. Yep. Perfect. Very nice. So the website is SuedeAI.xyz. The X is AI Suede. Go ahead and check them out. I think you guys are doing some pretty cool stuff. I'm excited to see what's in the future. Do you have any final words for the people tuning in on what you'd like them to know or do as we wrap this up?
No, I'd say check out the sites, SuedeAI.ai, SuedeAI.fun, our NFT
royalty. Oh, you got SuedeAI.ai now?
Yeah.
AI.AIO.
Yeah. And then that fund is, of course, our launch pad. And then we've got the royalty management NFTs. But yeah, just start at the main site, take a look, play with it. And I think if you go through the site and see some of the articles that I've written, there's a lot about token integration and kind of how that value is accreted to the token holders in a pretty smart way, I think, for you know, the way that we can.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this today. I want to thank you as well, Matt Case. Appreciate you. Norton, you guys are awesome. Eduardo from the future. This is an X space of the past now, just so you know. AZ, always great to see you, good sir. Yep. And as always, Mr. Drew, it's a pleasure riding this with you. You got any final words as you roll this? We roll this out?
Just an exciting day. I mean, what you're rolling out is something that I wish I had access to when I was spending that 15 years on the road playing heavy metal music, man. I mean, you know, it was a great experience, but geez, there's a lot of opportunity for new musicians, at least. I think I'm past the point of doing heavy metal.
No, man, you need to just roll up your model. Here's our music. Make a model of your music from then.
Maybe.
Alley, baby.
Maybe, man. You got my wheels spinning here. My mind's spinning on this. But Johnny, I appreciate it. Everyone on the panel, great show. And we'll see if we can get a nice bounce on this Bitcoin chart after these crazy comments from Trump and Jerome Powell. But until next time, thanks for joining us on Mario Not Fall. And we'll see you real soon, folks. Take care. Bye.